Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to Oh What a Time, the history podcast that tries to decide if the past was grubby, dusty, and just quite confusing. I'm Tom Crane.
I'm Ellis James.
I'm Chris Skull, and each week on this show we'll be looking at a new historical subject, and today we're going to be discussing health and fitness.
From three of the fittest podcasters in the podcast universe. The perfect people to discuss this topic. Yes, we'll be discussing the rise of vegetarianism in the 19th and 20th centuries, fitness in ancient Rome, keeping fit after pandemics, and, as a bonus bit for our Oh What a Time full-timer subscribers, lifestyle hacks.
Yeah, so how is our fitness now we're 3 months into this new year?
Well, I just started there with a sort of a whooping cough, yeah. Didn't I?
You'd heard the word fitness and your lungs had just collapsed.
I have the lungs of, like, this is how sort of on brand I am for a historical podcast. I have the lungs of like a Victorian
chimney sweep.
Yeah, exactly, a street urchin.
Yeah, 3 months into the new year, those New Year's resolutions, they're just a memory now, just a twinkle in the old eye, aren't they? Gym memberships, gathering dust.
You are quite fit, to be fair. So
yeah.
Wow. Every week, Ellis and I work together on a show he presents called Fantasy Football on Sky. I write on that. And Elle cycles into the writing room.
Every day.
Every day.
Wow.
Which takes how long?
It takes an hour. It is 12 miles.
That's amazing. It is, to be fair. The fact we have to be there at 9 a.m. and you cycle in for an hour before work is quite impressive.
I mean, listen. I'm going to say it, okay? I'm going to say it. There was a sketch that will now be available because it's already available online and showing out last night, where for about 5 seconds I had to look like Margot Robbie at the Oscars. So the makeup team had to put makeup on me like I was Margot Robbie, fake tan, costume her to get a very similar dress to the one that she wore at last week's Oscars. And because I cycle 25 miles a day, and when I'm not, I cycle into the studio and I cycle for fun at the weekend, what that has given me is, when I'm wearing a size 10 dress, a bum that literally turns heads. People doing authentic double takes at my bum because it is fantastic.
The great thing about this podcast is we've got bums at both ends of the polar spectrum, because only last night my wife said to me, "You have absolutely no bum."
Right, okay.
It's just a flat... It's completely flat. There is no definition to my bum.
My bum?
Yeah.
People go to Turkey to have operations to look like my bum. They're taking photos of my bum in. And the surgeon's going, really, one of them?
Like in a hairdresser's. Yeah. There's like 18 different bums in the window and you point at the one you want. I would say, just for the completeness, I have quite a middling bum. I think I have quite a sort of normally, which is quite nice that we have all the options in this podcast. Maybe that's why it works.
Oh, the options.
choose your bum. You can have an absolutely no bum,
so choose
a medium bum, or a very generous
bum. A choose your bum adventure.
Chris, how did she, what happened? What was the thing where she realised you don't have a bum? You went to sit on a seat and you missed? What happened? What was the thing that made her realise you don't have a bum?
Well,
what happened?
It's fitness related. I've got battle ropes this year. So I was out in the garden doing a bit of the battle ropes, and then I came in for a shower and I stripped off. And my wife says, look at that. You've got absolutely no bum.
That's so funny.
What are battle ropes?
Just flat.
I would never do battle ropes in the garden because I would be so embarrassed as to what Harriet next door would have to say.
You've just got to get over it. or like I do it in the dark of night.
You two fitness obsessive need to explain what battle ropes are to me. I imagine they're those really heavy ropes that you have to wibble flick to make the move.
Exactly. Okay. You've imagined them right.
You own those at home?
Yeah.
And you have them set up in the garden?
Mate. It's not. Yeah, it's not like I've got a home gym.
It's two ropes, isn't it?
A dirty old rope that cost me £20 from Amazon down the end of the garden. It's not like not running a David Lloyd down the end there.
I assumed it was a weighted rope, that it had some kind of quality.
It is a weighted rope.
Exactly.
But so it's just a rope.
It's not just normal rope. Normal rope would just be just flapping a rope around for half an hour.
It's a heavy string.
Rope. That's skipping. That's what that is.
A battle string. See, I love skipping, and I've got a skipping rope, but I'm too embarrassed as to what Harriet next door would have to say, so I never do it anymore.
Yeah.
You can't do it silently, that's the problem. Not even a ninja can skip silently.
When the skipping rope is flipping round past your back, it's always clipping your bum, your massive bum as well, isn't it? A second slap of rope upon flesh every time it goes round.
Harriet thinking, is that helicopter taking off? Oh, no.
He's at it again. Old big bum next door.
Well, this is what we're going to be talking about. We'll probably talk about our fitness regimes quite a lot in this episode, because this episode is about fitness and health throughout history. I think this could be a really, really fun one. Before we kick off, though, shall we get into a bit of correspondence? Should we do that? Should we find out?
Yes, please.
Yeah, yes, please.
Now, here's a sentence I never thought I'd use, but the lips to teat floodgates have opened. We are getting a lot of emails with the heading lips to teat. Like, more than you could possibly imagine. And I'm delighted by this. For those of you who've missed what we're talking about here, a few episodes ago, we talked about the idea of the first person who tried milk. And to quote, the first person who went lips to teat with a cow. And we asked you to write in with sort of milks you'd like to try, what animal you'd like to go lips to teat with. It's all, you know, it's proper historical chat.
Good, clean fun.
Exactly. So, first email here from Dave Mitchell. I don't think this can be that one. It can't be David Mitchell, can it?
Well, he's got a history degree from Cambridge, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's on brand for him to listen. He's just written a book about the kings and queens of England.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
That, oh, proper. My God.
So his email says lips to teat.
That's the subject. That's just to check, that's the subject.
That's the subject.
As requested.
Line, yeah.
As requested. Yeah.
So I like the start of this email. Afternoon, gents, scholars and skull. Love it. Maybe it is David. That is the sort of thing David Mitchell would say. It is the sort of funny thing he'd say.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
At the risk of stepping on the toes of our American comedians, there are a few other firsts I'd like to go back and see, obviously via the one-day time machine. Primarily, I think this is actually quite an interesting one, to be honest. Primarily, it's a slightly loose one about lips to teat, but it is in the same area. Primarily, I've got some questions for the first human to try honey. An objectively
That's
mental
a great
decision.
Shot.
He, and it definitely would have been a he, no woman is that mad, saw this giant hive full of angry insects that are literally willing to die to attack you, and thought, yep, I bet there's some tasty goo in there.
I'm going to eat that.
Exactly. Even once a hive is smashed open, it's still a balmy choice. The shapes in a hive are creepy on evolutionary level. Google trypophobia. But despite that, some mad idiot didn't mind his beeswax and dived right in. So I think that's an interesting one. That is a mad decision, isn't it? To go to something which is full of things that want to attack you. Like,
yeah.
But not just like one thing.
Let's say that sounds scary.
There's like an angry hog and you think, well, if it's going at me, but if I can kill it, I can have the meat. When there's like 100,000 things coming at you en masse and you're still thinking that's what I'm going to go for.
I am so grateful to have lived and grown up in the era of the 24-hour spa. And for our American listeners, not spas in like the kind of spa that Romans used to have a bath in. It's basically a 7-Eleven, I suppose, would be the 24-hour spa, the 24-hour happy shopper, the budgins. The Londis, the Netto, so useful.
It's so much less dangerous now trying to get honey compared to 100 years ago.
I agree with my thought on this is that for me, it's the first person, because the first person that went to get the honey was definitely attacked by all of the bees. So the rest of that person's tribe or family or whatever watched Steve getting attacked by all of the bees.
Yeah.
So what is the point where you're going, that's what I'm sticking with rather than bananas or whatever yes. else is easy or turnips? Let's just keep going with that on the off chance the stuff in that thing is tasty.
I've got a genuine theory as to why people were ready to risk it for the honey. Because I think if you go back 600, 700 years, 1,000 years, there's probably not that much sweet stuff out there.
Interesting.
Like, honey would be one of the few sweet things, and sweet foods are unbelievably nice, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, fruit as well.
And especially
well,
if you've only been eating sour things, you would risk the bee sting. But the other thing it got me thinking was, so someone's risked their life to go into a beehive to grab the honey. What were the other failed experiments?
Yes.
Like, if someone run up to a bull, tried to like chew a bit of its horn off, and
that's a good question.
Or licked some tree amber. Where did it go wrong?
Yeah.
This actually leads me to a theory that I've never said on this podcast before, but I do hold strongly, and it's two words. Everything's happened.
Yeah.
Throughout, you know, everything, good and bad, dark and light, at some point in the history of humanity over the last 60,000 years ago, it's happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a bleak and hopeful statement.
Luckily for us, one thing that hasn't happened is a history podcast that takes a kind of a light-hearted look back on the past. And that's why this is proving to be such a success. Our next email is from Sophie Moody. Great name. Once again, would you like to guess the title? 3, 2, 1. It's Lips to Tea.
Lips to Tea.
Correct. How are we, lads? I'm Sophie from Canada, but living in London. Hi, Sophie from Canada, living in London. I have had milk straight from the teat of a goat. It's very easy to aim a teat and send a steady, solid stream of milk sailing through the air. You're not supposed to be doing it from a distance, like a sort of when you're giving water to a dog from a hose. Surely you put your lips quite close, don't you?
That's showboating, isn't it?
Showboating, yeah. All this to say, you don't have to put your lips on the teat. You can stand further off and squirt it into your own or your friend's mouth. In terms of milk making animals, now this is an interesting one. I'm interested in the platypus. I'm not sure I'd enjoy its milk, but I'd be willing to try for science. Collection would be tricky, as platypi don't have teats. They sweat their milk out of their skin, so maybe we'd put the platypus in a bucket and then turn up the heat so she'd sweat. I'm not 100% sure about the method, as I don't want to hurt the platypus. I'm open to suggestion.
So you're just licking the platypus?
Like a lollipop.
Oh, you haven't touched your platter lolly.
Like a mini milk.
Yeah, the platypus needs to be on a stick. You can't just be holding it, licking it. You look mad.
Yeah.
So there you go. So if you want to sip milk from a goat, you can point the teat at a friend, squeeze it, and jet the milk in an arc.
Oh, that sounds like a wholesome way to spend time, isn't it? But that's got to be better than teenagers going on their phones, which is all they do these days, spraying each other with goat's milk.
You know, in rom-coms where you see couples flicking paint over each other when they're doing up at their first house and laughing and giggling. Maybe this is sort of farming equivalent to that sort of flirting.
Yes.
Two farmers who quite like each other are spraying milk at each other from a goat's teat, laughing and then rolling around in the hay. Anyway, thank you for Lips to Tea. If you have any other comments on Lips to Tea, any views on things you'd like to suckle, which is that the right way around or suckle from? Actually, no, that's weirder. We're not looking for which animals you'd like to suckle. I think that's another level.
Have you ever tried to lick a platypus?
Then do get in contact with the show. Also, One Day Time Machine, it still exists as Britain's best format point. Any amazing relatives? But really, it's Lips to Tea at the moment, isn't it? And here's how you get in contact with the show.
All right, you horrible lot. Here's how you can stay in touch with the show. You can email us at hello@ohwhatatime.com, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ohwhatatimepod. Now clear off.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
So today I'm going to talk to you about health and fitness in the ancient world.
I'll be talking to you about the rise of vegetarianism in the 19th and 20th centuries.
I'll be talking about keeping fit in the wake of a pandemic. And in the extra bonus section, I'll be talking about weight loss hacks.
But first of all, I'm going to be talking to you about health and fitness in the ancient world. Now, to kick off, let's talk about our fitness regimes. Chris, you are on a crazy fitness kick. You've been on one all year, is that right?
Been on one all year. We're recording this on the 16th of March. Every day this year, I've had Greek yogurt and either a banana or blueberries for breakfast. And I'm I'm working out far more than I've ever really worked out. And I've not really been drinking either.
Well, I saw you last weekend and I thought, he's got a lovely figure.
Aside from the bum.
I mean, apart from your bum, your wife must be like, oh, Chris... Wow.
But Elle, you see me quite a lot. Do you not? You never think
no,
that?
No.
You never think
a writer's figure.
Okay, right, okay.
I've actually got some before and after pictures.
Okay.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Would you like to see them?
Yes, let's do it. Please.
Okay. Are you fully clothed in these pictures?
I'm wearing my pants. I'm wearing trousers in one and pants in the other.
I'm willing to watch. I'm willing to have a look, yeah. Let's have a look.
And I've done that thing that you always see in before and after pictures where... And I didn't even mean to do this on purpose, but in the first picture, that I look really depressed.
Okay, yeah.
The second one, I look really happy. So I'm just prepping you for that. Okay, do you want to? This is the before picture. Okay. This is New Year's Day. This is New Year's Day, hungover like midday.
Yeah.
And this is me yesterday.
Goodness gracious me, Christopher.
Yeah.
So who took that?
My wife took the before and after picture.
What a lucky lady.
I can also tell you what looks really, really cool and sexy, Chris, is pants and socks as a combination. I think that's always sets off a great bod. If you're stood there in your underpants and your socks, I think that's a really sexy look. Done. That's very, very impressive. Claire and I, my wife and I, decided 2 days ago that we were going to start a fitness kick and start going to the gym. We said... Right, okay, Friday morning, we're getting up, we're going to the gym. And then Friday morning, we went, oh, I don't want to go to the gym. So instead, we went to have a nice breakfast in a cafe instead, which is like the opposite end. It wasn't even, okay, we're just not going to go to the gym. It was like, no, we're going to go the other way. We're going to go and have a full English in a cafe. But, you know.
A full English. That's hilarious.
Different approaches. So, just like today, in the ancient world, fitness and exercise was hugely popular. Even back then, people were stood in their pants and socks, and their wives were taking before and after drawing sketches. It would have been about this.
But you know, I've always thought about the ancient world. Like, whenever you see marble statues, everyone's ripped.
Yes.
In like ancient Greece, You don't see, like, dad bots carved out of marble. No.
Do you think they destroyed the before statues? Maybe they did before and after statues of dads who were sort of about to hit a fitness regime. But ancient Rome destroyed those ones. That's not the idea they want. So it was very popular back then, so much so that just like now, I find this fascinating, manuals and how-to guides were published in an attempt to get people exercising. So the same way we have books now on fitness, these books were published back then, even by famous philosophers like Plato. So Plato, which really makes me laugh, the idea of buying your fitness book from a philosopher. The idea of saying, what book have you got? Joe Wicks? No, I've got Jean-Paul Sartre's. That's the one I've got.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm doing the latest Noam Chomsky workout.
You just have to think about the movement. That's all it is. Don't actually have to do it. It's just ruminate on what exercise is and the value of it. In fact, this is how big the names were, the people who were writing these things. Hippocrates wrote 3 books on the subject and argued that eating alone will not keep a man well. He must also take exercise, for food and exercise work together to produce health. But the question is, what sort of exercise were people doing back in ancient Rome and in the ancient world? Now, Hippocrates believed that if people didn't want to exercise, this was the main concern in his book, and I think it is right, it still exists now. He felt that if people don't want to exercise, they will find any excuse not to exercise. So I'm definitely like that. Have you ever been like that? Well, look at me, I had a breakfast on Friday morning rather than going to the gym. But this was his main idea, that people are always looking for an excuse not to exercise.
Ellis has a six-pack. He cycles 25 miles a day. I don't think you're a man for excuses.
I genuinely really enjoy it, and I look forward to it, and I get a bit grumpy if I can't do it.
Okay,
and I don't know where this has come from, and I don't know if it's vanity that has now just become a habit. I don't know. But that's a really good point from Hippocrates. There will always be people who are like, oh, I can't be asked.
Yes.
And, you know, life often gets in the way. And life would have been getting in the way back then. What's interesting is I didn't realise, I thought it began much later, because I knew about things like the muscular Christianity movement in the 19th century.
So what's that? I don't know about that. What's that?
The muscular Christianity movement originated in England in the mid-19th century. And it was, you had a belief in patriotic duty, discipline, self-sacrifice, masculinity, obviously, religion, you know, so it was influential within Catholicism and Protestantism, and the physical and moral beauty of physical athleticism. It was not just physical, but also moral health.
Okay, yes.
So it was, there were lots of youth clubs and things that existed in the 19th century. They would all have sports teams because it was the idea that you needed to be physically fit, and that was sort of part of being a Christian. So I knew about that. I didn't realise they were doing it in the age of Hippocrates. Yeah. That's amazing to me.
This still comes as news to my dad, because my dad says that jogging didn't exist until the late 80s. I mean, he actually says that. He said that to me. No one jogged until the late 80s.
Well, there's that whole idea that the person who invented jogging died of a heart attack, and people who don't like jogging, like my daddy say that. Oh, there we go. How well did it do for him? Yeah, but he died in Central Park or something, didn't he?
Yeah. So, well, you mentioned jogging there. Hippocrates, his point of view was finding ways that, as Ellis says, meant that people could exercise in a way that they enjoyed and fitted into their life. So he really pushed the idea of walking. This is one of the early things that was pushed as a fitness regime. Yeah. So Hippocrates pushed walking so much that he wrote 2 books on walking. How the hell do you write 2 books on walking? Surely after the first book you think, I've written everything there is to say about walking.
It's a pamphlet, isn't it?
After the first chapter, you're going to go, how am I going to fill in the rest
what
of this?
What is it? There's left foot, right foot. That's your first chapter. However, there was one man in ancient Rome who took these principles of keep fit to new heights and popularity. And that's the person I really want to talk about, okay? This man was called Galen. And his book, Hygiene, contained ideas about fitness, exercise, sort of training your body to its peak. And Galen knew a lot about the human body in its strongest form, because his job, and this is a horrendous job, he was a doctor for the gladiators, sounds like a really stressful job. How was your day, dear? It was horrendous as always, obviously. It was just horrendous.
Another bloke butchered to death.
Yeah, exactly. The things you're consistently dealing with, like, it would have been, on every shift, you know that someone's going to come in with leg missing.
Sleep well, Steve.
Every shift is a nightmare.
It's awful.
You're not clocking on going, it could be a quiet one today.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It won't be. We've got the Lions in.
Your friends in sort of ancient Roman A&E, you're going, you don't know how lucky you've got it. Dealing with the odd bad back and sort of, yes, you get the odd chariot accident, but literally three times a day I'm dealing with people who've lost limbs. And in Galen's mind, there were four essential components for a healthy condition. I want you to tell me how you are on each of these. These are the four components that Galen thought were important in ancient Rome. One, eating and drinking well. Are you doing that?
Yeah, pretty good.
Two, regular bowel movements.
Every hour.
On the hour. you set an alarm on your phone, don't you? Sorry, is he? Need to pop upstairs?
You hear Big Ben chiming and you're like, oh, quick!
Three, recognising clear air from dirty air and then avoiding the latter. So the ability
I live in London.
Yeah, exactly.
I cycle in London. Yeah. Can't do anything about that.
Four, how are you with this one? Having a daily routine of sleep, bathing and sex. You keeping that up?
I mean, that is...
Bathing, yes.
Okay.
Well, shower. Shower first thing.
This was these are the key things to be doing. And as for this bathing, in ancient Rome, it would invariably have been done at a basilica, which was a public Roman baths where Romans would work out in an exercise area before having a dip. So almost like a gym, the way we have now. People would go to the baths, they'd work out for a bit, then they'd have a dip. In Italy and in Rome, place like that, there would also be an outside pool where people could relax after doing their workouts in the sun enjoy the outdoor pool.
Yet again, they seem to have it worked out.
Absolutely.
The Italians, don't they?
Yeah.
How did they mess it all up so bad?
This, they definitely had it nailed with their good weather and the relaxation. This did make me laugh. The remains of an equivalent bath was found at Wroxeter in Shropshire in England, and that also revealed an outside pool. But it was also discovered that basically as soon as they built this outside pool, they filled it in again. And historians think it's because the Romans quickly realised it was just far too cold to be swimming outside in Britain.
Hang on. Are we in Shropshire?
Exactly. I'm imagining day one when they're getting in the pool and going, what have we done? So Galen had very clear ideas on how you should exercise, and he spread this word across Rome and it became popularised. He hated the gym. He hated personal trainers, so he wouldn't have had a time for your approach, Chris. He said, beware the physical trainer who present themselves as experts in the perverted art of the gymnasium. Thoughts on that? The perverted... Have you thought it's full of the perverted arts when you're there? What's your feeling?
A friend of mine, his father's response and philosophy to sort out the world is like hyper-localism.
Okay.
So you'd only eat seasonal food. You'd grow your own food if you've got a garden. And everywhere you walk to would be walking distance. And then he's like going back to chopping trees and all that kind of stuff. Because he's one of the fittest blokes I know, and he's in his mid-70s.
Yeah.
But he's never been to a gym in his life. He just does constant physical exercise.
Yeah.
Like he must be chopping logs every day for some reason. I don't even know why he's doing it now.
Have they got a fire?
They do have a fire. And he does it for the people in the street and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, he would think the same thing.
Well, Galen would have had no time for these sort of people. Here's the way he described the gym obsessive back in ancient Rome. He said they spend their lives over-exercising, over-eating and over-sleeping like pigs. No, what we really want is exercise involving pleasure, for that is true to human nature. And this takes us back again to Hippocrates, all of these writers trying to find pleasure in exercise. So to wrap up this section, I'm going to talk you through what he felt these pleasurable natural activities should be. This is what he was pushing on ancient Rome, and this is what the people of ancient Rome embraced, okay? And I'm intrigued to see which of these you think you could get into, okay? The first ones are not weird. They're rowing, running, jumping, and riding. So those are not that unusual. We can see those things you might do. Okay, next one. Spear throwing was a big one. That's the way that people used to exercise.
Yeah. I can see how that would... I reckon that'd be quite good fun if you were good at it.
Yeah. I think they'd have to be a set, designated area for spear throwers. Yeah. You can't have a situation where you're going down to the park with a spear.
No, that's a health and safety issue, isn't it?
Yeah. We've all seen that episode of 999 with Michael Burke.
Yes, exactly. We have. Yeah. I will never forget that episode of 999 where the poor schoolboy got a javelin in the throat.
Absolutely horrendous.
But he survived.
Armed combat was the way that they do it, that you dress up in armour and you'd fight, I imagine, with wooden swords against someone else. That was the thing.
It's just also, it's hard to do before work, isn't it? Which is when most people go to the gym. You can't turn up for work with like a broken nose and a sort of snapped wrist. Oh, sorry, I've been at the gym this morning.
Yeah. I used to work with a guy who used to go boxing training before work and would often turn up with a black eye to start the day.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like pumped full of adrenaline. You're like, this can't be good for you.
This one's a bit more vague. This is simply rolling around on the ground. You getting into that?
He's running out of ideas at this point, isn't he?
Yeah. The under sevens would love that.
Moving quickly in full armour is the next one. Moving quickly in full armour. So you put on
that
full armour
like
and you
bollock.
Run. Exactly. You know when you see people, people put sort of heavy things in backpacks and run around. So I suppose there's a link there. Two more. Picking up someone who is bent over at the hips and swinging them around above your head.
That sounds like a consent issue.
It's such a good point.
What?
Yeah, it has to be someone you've pre-agreed with. You can't just, once again, you can't go to the park, approach someone and saying, would you mind bending over at the hips so I can swing you around above my head? I'm trying to get
I'm
fit.
I'm actually exercising.
And the final one, just digging.
Yeah, completely buying that.
Are you? Completely. Really?
My friend's actually, dad would be like, yes.
I had an old World War II Anderson shelter in my garden. I had to dig it up and that for over last summer. And that was, I could feel it was vigorous exercise.
Wow. That's so cool. Did you find anything in it?
Yeah, like a Nazi. No, there's nothing in it. Just some old mud.
Just some old mud.
Quite common in East London, where I lived. It's quite common to have Anderson shelters in the end of the garden. I thought it was a barbecue. I thought, you know, like those brick barbecues. And then I started digging down. I was like, this is really deep. And then my dad, who's from around here, was like, oh, no, that'll be an Anderson shelter. They're everywhere.
Well. That's interesting. Yeah. However, and I'll end on this, the most popular sport in ancient Rome was wrestling. And this is one of the major ways that people would exercise. Even at these gyms, before they went and had a swim in the pool, they would wrestle against other people who turned up at the gym. And one final little interesting point, there was a social expectation that men engaged...
Great way to dislocate your shoulder, really? Wrestling. If that's your vibe.
I think the awkward of turning up at a place and going up to someone saying, would you fancy having a wrestle? The ability to do that, the confidence to go up. I suppose everyone's in on it, it's fine. But the idea of going to a gym now and going up to someone saying, would you mind just sort of grappling for a bit? But that's what would happen. These are public gyms where there'd be space and you could do whatever you'd want. You could do your sit-ups, your press-ups, your weights, or some people would just be sort of having a grapple and a wrestle.
Because you've got no idea how good they are.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a social expectation that men engaging in any sport that required minimal clothing, like wrestling, would have prepared themselves by removing all of their visible body hair. Would you like to finally guess how they did this? I just thought this was quite interesting.
Not plucking.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have razors, would they?
No, plucking. They had hair pluckers who were employed and worked at the baths. You'd pay them money and they would pluck out all your hairs using tweezers. Almost 50 pairs of tweezers have been found in excavations at the baths at Rochester that I mentioned earlier, showing how popular it was. So you go down there and you go, that doesn't feel like the most comfortable way to de-hair yourself, plucking them all individually.
No.
It would take so long.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So painful.
This is maybe why people were so desperate to get the honey from beehives that we discussed earlier, so they could start doing some waxing. That's what it was. This is what it was really about. It wasn't about eating honey for taste. It was about getting rid of hair. But that's the way that health and fitness was kind of approached in the ancient world. It was about finding pleasure. It wasn't really about the gymnasium so much in terms of the writing. It was about finding a way that people could enjoy it in a natural way, rather than simply for vanity and simply for building. It's about something that you can weave into your life and enjoy in your life. So it's kind of interesting that those ideas were there so early, really, isn't it? Kind of find it fascinating. Because I also sort of imagine as well that back then people were just healthy and ripped by note of the fact they lived during that time, were living rather physical lives and eating well.
Yes.
You know, eating much better food than we do now, really. Assume that wasn't, but no, there was still that push in society.
Well, thank you, Thomas. The end of part one. In part two tomorrow, you'll be hearing Chris and I. I'll be talking about staying healthy and keeping fit in the wake of a pandemic. And also, of course, there's the bonus part for subscribers. If you'd like to be an Oh What A Time full-timer, go to ohwhatatime.com.
And I'll be talking about the rise of vegetarianism in the 19th and 20th centuries. And Elle will be giving you some lifestyle hacks if you are an Oh What A Time full-timer. And if you want to support the show and become a full-timer, you will get that fourth part. And you'll get every episode a week ahead or slightly under that, plus fourth part in every episode, a bonus episode every month, and a whole host of other benefits. If you want to subscribe, best bet, head to ohwhatatime.com, or if you're listening on your Apple Podcast app, you can just go click on the show page and subscribe right there. But we'll see you tomorrow for part two. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.